Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.
Good day and welcome to the car wash. This is episode number 69. On today's show, we react to Chiefs and Downs making the CAF Champions League quarterfinals, plus reactions to the UEFA Champions League quarterfinals, and of course, our Nedbank Cup preview. It's all about quarterfinals today. Whether you're listening to us on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, welcome to the show. I'm your host, Lou Power. Of course, I'm not alone. I'm joined by former Ajax Cape Town and Mamelodi Sundowns goalkeeper, Mr. Sean Roberts. How are you doing today?
Good morning, sir.
And I'm also joined by former Orlando Pirates and Mamelodi Sundowns midfielder, Mr. Teko Modise. How are you doing, sir?
I'm still skinny and fantastic, slow.
Well, let's get right into it. Sean, I really need to be cheered up low-key, so I'm hoping this joke of the day does the job, you know?
Let's see. But I saw a 2,000-year-old oil stain. It was from ancient Greece.
Oh, my God. You know, I don't know why we expect them to get better.
Oh, man. It's beautiful.
All right. Where does he find these jokes? Anyway,
exactly.
We start off with pole position. Pole position. Pole position is where we present a question to the supporters club or on Facebook. And today we asked you guys for your reactions to Chiefs making the CAF Champions League quarterfinals. Here's what you had to say.
It's an achievement to be in the quarterfinal as Kaizer Chiefs. But I don't think we'll make it to the final because we don't have enough quality players in the team.
As a Kaizer Chiefs loyal fan, I'm happy that we're going to play in the next stage.
I'm so happy. And I think they'll make it.
Yeah, I'm very happy. Yeah, I'm happy. Kaizer Chiefs did a great job.
And there you have it. Thank you to all of the supporters for sending those in. And now we get to talk about this. We have a reason for celebration. Usually, you know, Chiefs has had a tough time this season. So it's great that we get to say positive things about them. But we have two South African teams in the CAF Champions League quarterfinals. That's history. So Sean, what was your reaction?
You know what? I think my first reaction obviously is, okay, obviously it's amazing. Don't get me wrong. It's phenomenal. But my first reaction was, I think this has probably saved Gavin Hunt's job, to be honest. And I think they're going to give him the time that he needs now and give him the players that he wants for next season. And I think we're going to see a completely different Kaizer Chiefs in the next season, 1-3 seasons for sure. And I think this is the break that a lot of fans have been waiting for. This is the break that the technical team at Chiefs have been waiting for, because I can tell you something, the stress that's been going down there is probably beyond anything we've ever played through. But yeah, I mean, well done. Was I surprised? Yes, I was. But yeah, I mean, they've, as me and Teko have said before, this is a squad that came second in the league last year. So they've got the players. It's just about how to get them working together and to qualify for the quarterfinals of Champions League is proper. Now, I just hope that they continue this form into the league.
Deco, what was your reaction? We needed the calculators out for this one. So it was quite tense, but relief at the end of the day, right?
Looks, I think for me, it's not like a relief of some sort. I think, firstly, I would say it actually proves what how good Kevin Hahn is as a coach, mm-hmm. being able to do this with the type of players and the squad that he has under difficult circumstances like this. And also, probably maybe to the fans, it gives them hope for next season, or also it builds that trust between them and the coach, and also gives, like Sean has said, I think more leverage to the coach for next season to buy players that he can use, and that brings like a lot of confidence within the team. But as for surprises, we have two South African teams in the Champions League quarterfinals. No, this thing would have been happening every season with the qualities that we have. You know, it should be happening. We shouldn't be celebrating such. But I guess that's who we are, South Africans. We're celebrating everything, even some things that we're not supposed to, because sometimes our standards are not so high. you know, we downplay ourselves. I think there's a lot of stuff that is, especially in football in South Africa, we downplay ourselves. And it comes to this where we come out with calculators and divide and subtract and do all this kind of when we're supposed to be there every season. Look, correct. Look, if you compare with other countries, the amount of money that is spent on buying players per team every season, we should be competing in the Champions League. You've got no reason not to compete in Champions League.
So I agree, Teko, but I think this is what makes us extra special is if you've got Chiefs that haven't signed anyone or haven't spent 1 cent.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying, that as for Chiefs, it just brings a different dynamic and different feeling altogether into the camp. And as for the stakeholders and for people that are involved, it just brings the sign of relief on the other side. Okay, we're not doing well here. Okay, but this gives us hope, especially for next season with the type of players that we can have. This, we can go far. But what I'm saying is, like, in a whole, if you look at the top eight, not even top eight, top six of every season in the PSL, look at the amount of money that has been spent every season. We should be in quarterfinals, semifinals of Champions League every season.
Yes,
but I'm grateful and I'm happy that KZ Chiefs are there, you know, under difficult circumstances that they're facing.
Yeah, and I have a follow-up question for you guys because, you know, Sundowns are like kind of favorites at this point. But what do you think of Chiefs in the quarterfinals? Do you think that they have what it takes to make it to the semis, potentially have a run?
I think, Slew, the mere fact that they're there tells you that they have a chance. I think that's probably the easiest way of answering that. And if they do get to the semis with a club that hasn't spent 1 cent, it's phenomenal. If they get to the finals with a team that hasn't spent 1 cent, it's astronomical. And if they win it, oh my, you know, Gavin Hunt will be the next president of South Africa, I'm sure. But but yeah, it's I think the mere fact that they're there, they've got a chance. Do they deserve to be there? Yeah, of course. Of course they deserve to be there because they're there. And anything can happen in football. That is a beautiful thing about football. Anything can happen. The favorite might have an off day. The underdogs have a great day. They're through. We've seen it years and years and years in the past. And fingers crossed, this happens with Chiefs.
Deco, would you back Chiefs in the quarters?
Most definitely, Chief. They're not just representing themselves. They're representing their country.
Yes, sir.
And for us to see them to see them there, I mean, you know, kudos to them, because I know for a fact how difficult it is to get to the stages in the Champions League. I know the stress, the traveling, you know, you're forever not at home, you know, you're forever exhausted. And kudos to the players, because I know what it does to the body, to the mind as well. But for players to be actually keep going and see the positive out of this, that's great. And it's just, for me, I think it's more important for the younger ones that are participating in the stage, because definitely it's going to make them better players next season. Definitely, most definitely. And I'm grateful that, you know, Chiefs has those younger ones that they use even under the difficult circumstances. This fast forward their maturity into the game, and I can't wait to see them how they play next season.
Yeah, it's going to be very, very interesting. We're going to continue chatting about Chiefs, but we need to take a quick break for the international news desk with Soccer Laduma's international news correspondent, Kurt Bakkerfield. Have a listen. It's time for the international news desk. And for that, we are joined by Soccer Laduma's international correspondent, Mr. Kurt Bakkerfield. How are you doing today?
Good, Slew. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing well. All right, so we have to talk about Jose Mourinho. Would you consider his time with Spurs a success or failure? We have spoken about this before, but, you know, things have changed from the beginning of the season.
Dramatically. Things change all the time. And predictions are worthless in football in 2021/2020. But I don't know. I think, you know, look, I think we're going to have to judge it on how Spurs fans feel. And for some reason, we take high-profile Spurs fans more seriously. And none of them are happy at all with the way things have gone. I think they were all extremely happy when Spurs were top of the table. I think it was in December. And Kane and Son were in form that nobody had ever seen them in. It was brilliant to watch. It seemed fearless. Spurs were scoring goals. They weren't conceding. But now there is a feeling, certainly among the many Spurs fans that I follow, that Mourinho needs to get away from the players. They just want him gone. And I think that that's what he'll do to you. You know, just speaking from experience as a Manchester United fan, that's what it felt like for me as a United supporter when Mourinho was there, especially in that second season, or was it the third season? You know, things just go wrong. All the fallout, it's just this cycle, this predictable cycle. And we've seen that now at Spurs with Mourinho having fallouts with Ndombele, with Alderweireld is the latest, with Dele Alli. And, you know, when Kane, your most high-profile player, wants to leave, and Gareth Bale also comes out to say that he's pretty much keen on going to Real Madrid or going back to Real Madrid where he hasn't played any football over the last 2 years, I think it just doesn't bode well. I think that Mourinho's time will ultimately be deemed a failure. I don't think that even if, you know, they won the Carabao Cup final against Manchester City in the coming weeks, I don't think that that will rescue how his time at Spurs will be judged. I think it's been pretty bad, especially in recent weeks, and especially after that Manchester United loss recently.
Do you see Spurs making Europe at the end of the season?
You know, so I think they might qualify for the Europa League, but that isn't good enough. And I saw some stat out there that Mourinho hasn't played or has been in the Europa League over the last 6 or 7 years more than he has been in the Champions League. And for a high-profile coach, for a coach who's paid that much, I just don't think that's good enough. And I don't think Europa League is good enough for Spurs fans, considering it was just 2019, they made it to the Champions League final. I don't know, Stu, I don't know.
Should be interesting. Personally, I hate Spurs, so I'd love to see them fail. But, you know, I'm biased. But let's move from there to the UEFA Champions League. Starting with the PSG-Bayern match, PSG threw on away goals after that 3-2 win in Germany. They did lose the match this week, but they defended the scoreline. So what was your, you know, reaction to that match?
Well, I actually thought that Bayern, you know, had a good chance of going through if they, considering how the first leg went with all the chances they had, that they ultimately missed. And that second leg was pretty much the same thing. They created a number of chances, but just couldn't create enough. And even though they won 1-0 on the night, you know, they still didn't make it through. So I think Hansi Flick will be disappointed. I think those Bayern Munich players will be disappointed to not have defended the title, because a lot of people backed them to do that, considering the strength of their squad. But key injuries ultimately hurt them. PSG defensively weren't very good. But, you know, as we spoke about off air, Neymar in that devastating form is just unplayable. And it's one of those performances that makes you feel that he really is up there with the most talented, most technically gifted players that we've ever seen. I saw somebody call it the best no-goal performance from a player in the Champions League for quite some time. It was remarkable to watch, yeah.
Do you think that Neymar and Mbappe can lead PSG to, you know, becoming champions, which is their main goal? They win the league every single season, but they all want the Champions League. So do you think that Neymar and Mbappe are enough? Because as you've mentioned, their defense isn't the best.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. So, of course, you have a chance, a great chance, when you have Kylian Mbappe and Neymar, you know, up front. You have an incredible chance of scoring goals and winning matches. But ultimately, it's your defense that will decide whether you go through or not. So I think that PSG will need to improve there. Marquinhos will probably be back for those semi-final fixtures. He missed the majority of, or most of, the first game and the entire second leg too. So I think they will be a little bit more stable with Danilo Pereira coming out of defense, because he played there against Bayern in that second leg and it wasn't very good. It wasn't a good performance. It was enough, but, you know, he was defending against Choupo-Moting and not Lewandowski. So yeah. I do think that PSG, of course, have a great chance, but it will ultimately come down to whether they can keep a team like Manchester City out or stop them from scoring goals.
And speaking of teams that desperately want to win the Champions League, what did you make of Man City's performance against Dortmund?
It wasn't the most convincing performance. I thought Dortmund played really well. I thought they were brave. Jude Bellingham, 17 years old, playing on a big stage like that and performing as well as he did. He, of course, scored that brilliant goal. I thought Dortmund really played well, and maybe they deserved a little bit more. They were unlucky to have that penalty given against them, the handball on Emery Can. But City just needed to get over that, you know, just needed to take that next step. It's the first time they've got to the semi-finals with Pep Guardiola, and this, I think, the fifth year he's been in charge. So it's a pretty historic achievement for them. And I feel like this year they really do have a good chance of winning it. But we just hope that Pep Guardiola doesn't overthink it and come up with any weird tactics for those semi-final legs.
Yeah, but they've gotten over the hump. That fixture against PSG is going to be must-see TV for sure.
For sure. That other semi-final fixture with Chelsea and Real Madrid is going to be just as entertaining. And, you know, Real Madrid, Nobody thought were going to get anywhere near the semi-final stage. But they have the experience and know-how. And their year, they've been there, done that. I think they've won 4 Champions Leagues in the last 6 or 7 years. Chelsea, nobody expected them to get to this stage. Tuchel called it an adventure. He basically said that doesn't really matter what happens. We aren't expected to be here, which is dangerous because I don't think that there's anybody more threatening than a team that isn't expected to win. So that's going to be just as entertaining. And I think it's one of the best Champions League campaigns we've had in a long time. It sucks that there aren't fans at the games, but I do think it's the most exciting Champions League that I've seen, certainly in recent years.
Now, I'll tell you this, at least South Africans for sure will be getting drunk on that day because the first leg is on Freedom Day. So we have no reason to miss the match. Thank you very much. That is Kurt Buckerfield, Sokola Duma's international news correspondent. Have a fantastic day, bro.
Cheers, Luke. Thanks, man.
Well, welcome back. Let's chat about Chiefs again. Should they renew Kune's contract? If you watched that last match against Horoya, you could argue that Kune saved Chiefs. He had so many stops in that second half and we've spoken at length, about Kune on this show, talking about we'd love to see him retire at Chiefs. Do you think that he's made his case like solidified, or do you think that it's still up in the air?
Sure. I think Kune needed that performance. I don't think Kune needs to prove himself to anyone, to be honest. He's without doubt one of the best goalkeepers that this country's ever produced, in my opinion, and probably the best. It's such a tough one, Slew. He is Kaiser Chiefs. The 2 million Kune is Kaiser Chiefs. Will they re-sign him on an improved contract? I don't know. Will they re-sign him on another contract? Possibly. And I think he deserves it, in my opinion. I don't know if he deserves more money. I mean, that's got nothing to do with me. But I do believe that we should see a 2 million Kune retire at Kaiser Chiefs. I do. And just to have someone like that in the change room, and you saw the difference that made in something about Kune, his big match temperament. That's what he's got. And you can't buy that. Do you know what I mean? You can't buy playing an X amount of Soweto derbies. That comes with him. That's big match temperament. I think Chiefs should renew his contract. Whether it's renewing with more money, I don't know. But I'll be very surprised if they don't, put it that way.
Deco, your thoughts? I mean, you know, it's a tough one because it's kind of a business question. Is he worth it at this point? He did struggle early on in the season, but I mean, that performance against Horoya was legendary, low-key.
I think the reason why people are so excited about the performance on the previous game is because Kune has had a bad season. But on a normal day, Kune did his job. That's who Kune is. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand when people are like, Kune is back. It's just that as a footballer, at times you will go through tough times and bad patches.
Correct.
And what defines you is how you come back. And for me, this is not a comeback for Kune. Kune's been there. It's just that he needs to find himself more, you know, on a regular basis, like be in love with the game. You know, there's so many distractions that happens in football and for players as well that goes through a whole lot of stuff. And for me, I'm glad that he went through all these things and he still has an opportunity to come back because the age still allows, because he's a goalkeeper as well. He doesn't have to prove himself to anybody. we know who he is. We know what he has done. You just need to, you know, fall in love with the game again. And once you fall in love with the game again, you know, your smile will be back on the on your face and you'll do all the right things. I just did for me is, I want Kaizer Chiefs, I'm not instructing Kaizer Chiefs what to do. I just wish that if Kaizer Chiefs have to give Itumeleng Khune a contract, they should give him based on what he has done for the team, not because they're feeling sorry or feeling pity for Khune. Khune should be earning his contract. You know, because
the question is, do you think he's earned his contract?
Of course. Okay. Khune has surpassed all the goalkeepers that have ever won Kaizer Chiefs. Also, is also what you stand for as a team. Kaizer Chiefs stand for the always pushing the family values into the players, into the messaging to the fans. It's about family. They're considering the fans as family. Let's see what they do with this Itumeleng Khune situation. Because this boy has been there for over 16 years.
Yep.
So that's what I'm saying.
He's a club legend, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But they shouldn't give him the contract based on, we're feeling sorry for him this season. He had a bad season. They should give him a contract that, hey, dude, you've been here with us. You've been loyal to this team. You've done so much for this team. And we still believe that you can do so much going forward. Because at the end of the day, whoever that comes in the next season, whatever position they're coming in at, they need to understand what it takes to be it natural and what it takes to wear that jersey. Because now everybody can get away with so many stuff because there's no fans. He's one boy that knows what it takes to play, 60,000 to 40,000 capacity at a derby. That's what I'm saying. The Khune should be given a contract because he deserves, not because they're feeling sorry for him.
Yeah. And, you know, there's also some transfer news coming out of Chiefs. There's a youngster from Richards Bay, Veluyeke Zulu, who's been linked with all of the top three clubs. And what's interesting to me about this is, what do you think Chiefs' approach to this next transfer window should be? Should they be looking at investing in young, you know, unearthed talent? Or do you think that they're going to, you know, splash out because they missed the last two transfer windows?
Slu, I think it's going to have to be a balance, without a doubt. You're going to have your senior players in there to balance out the youngsters coming through or the youngsters coming in. This guy Zulu, they still call him a youngster, but he's 26. it's unbelievable. Oh my God, I love the PSL. But yeah, he's a very good player. I don't know if he's going to Chiefs. I know a deal has been done for him already, but I don't know who it is with. But I've got a feeling it's not Chiefs, but I could be wrong. But very good player. But to answer your question, Slu, they're definitely going to need a balance, and which players they're going to let go and which players they're going to bring in is going to be very interesting. I think there's 9 players that are out of contract now, you know, which is it's all majority senior players. You know, your Katsandas and Manyama and Khune as well, for example. So do they let them go as well and bring in the young blood around them, or is it a whole new sort of upheaval of players and like the Pirates did last season or the season before, I can't remember, where there were so many players released and new players came in. We might see that. Yeah, we might see that at Chiefs. And it won't surprise me, to be honest, because they do need a face change. A facelift. Having said that, it all depends, in my opinion as well, how well they do in the Champions League. So I think the players that are out of contract have done themselves a massive favour to earn themselves a new contract with this Champions League qualification. That's my opinion.
Agreed. Beko, your predictions for how Chiefs is going to handle this next window?
I think, Slu, it's going to be very important to, because they won't have enough time. Especially if you're a team that's trying to rebuild and trying to find players, you'll forever run out of time, because you'll never be satisfied until you actually start playing your first game. And I think with the Gavin situation, I think not Gavin, but Kaizer Chiefs situation, I think they with the players that they need to sign, there should be players that are ready to play.
Yes.
And then once they're ready to play, and then it becomes a little bit easier to start shaping them into whatever system that you want to play as a team. But you need to have players that are ready to play immediately. Yes. Because you can't as a team, a big team like Kaizer Chiefs, you can't risk it all by having all new players within the team and everybody must go. That's a huge risk, and I don't think Kaizer Chiefs will allow that. But I also think with the senior players that are having the contracts expiring, I think they'll be given maybe short-term contracts also to to find out, or whether they still maybe want to be part of the team, and it's just to test them if they still want to be part of the team and play for the team or not, and also to help the transition on the players that are coming in next season. But I think for me, Kaizer Chiefs will be on top 8. It will be great for me to see. It'll be great actually to see Kaizer Chiefs in the top 8 next season.
Yeah.
And for that is I know that they'll start picking up points because of how they're going now in the Champions League, but it'll be very, very suicidal if Kaizer Chiefs has to let everybody go and sign a completely new team. Mm.
And you mentioned players that have to come in and, you know, immediately start balling out. And we've seen Khamaldeen has agreed to a deal with Chiefs in principle. Mm. What do you make of that move for him specifically? Because he's having a breakout season with Swallows, but does he fit Chiefs' system? Does he walk into that starting 11?
Look, Slu, I don't think there's a player that played anywhere else and that before he went to Chiefs actually said this one will just walk in into Kaizer Chiefs' lineup.
Yeah.
Playing for Kaizer Chiefs is different. I don't care where you play for, who you're playing for. Mm. Coming there, there's different demands. You know, the expectations are so high. Khamaldeen, yes, he's got an opportunity of his lifetime. Every player in the country wants to play for a big team. If that opportunity comes through, I'll take it with both hands as well. But now for Khamaldeen as well, you must understand under pressures there. Now, if at Swallows you can go, you can get away with not scoring for 3 games consecutively. Not a case of Chiefs. So it's just that the demands are high. And also the demands, you know, playing under such a team, also it improves players. And I'll recommend every player to strive for that, to play for big teams, because it improves your performances. You know, you're getting excited, you win trophies. You know, playing, you know, okay, maybe when the crowds are back, 40,000, 30,000, that's great every week. That's fantastic. But everybody that is going to be signed for Kaizer, everybody that's going to be wearing a badge for Kaizer Chiefs, whether you're a security guard, whether you're the kit manager, whether you're the coach, whatever situation you're in, everybody's under pressure next season to deliver.
Sure.
Everybody's agreed. Under pressure to deliver, because irrespective of, people might think that you know, Gavin Hunt's job is on the line. There's so many players' jobs are on the line as well. You know, so everybody next season that is going to be wearing that badge is under pressure to deliver. So yes, whoever sir. That comes in, whether it's Khamaldeen, whether it's Zulu, it doesn't matter. Everybody's under pressure to come and deliver to the team.
Sean, what do you make of this latest news with Khamaldeen? Do you think it's the right career move for him at this point?
It's 100% the right career move for him. You know, I've actually know the ins and outs of the contract he's signed. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure on his shoulders. But, you know, for a guy who has literally traveled the leagues within South Africa, and a guy who's never given up, a guy who is very down to earth, and who's shown his quality now because a coach believed in him at Swallows and possibly changing his position and possibly the right position. And he's deserved this move, 100%. And the Chiefs faithful may not agree with it, and that's fine. A lot of people might not have seen this coming, and that's also fine. But is it the right move for him? Of course, 100% is the right move for him. And the ball is in his court now, Slu. It's up to him how he does. So, very happy for him. Good signing on both parts. If he's played in the right position, surrounded by the right players, I think he will produce.
Agreed. Should be a very interesting season. It will be the 2021-22 season. That feels like a fake number. Anyway, it's time for This Week in Football History.
Today, we remember great moments from the past. We dive into the time capsule. Join us as we remember great moments from This Week in Football History.
This week, back in 1905, Liverpool secured their second league title. It was the first time in league history that a newly promoted team won the top flight. Sticking with Liverpool, I feel like Liverpool fans need some a reason to smile this week. This week back in 2008, Steven Gerrard made his 300th appearance for Liverpool, and he did it in style, scoring one goal and assisting another in a 3-1 win over Blackburn. Oh. And coming back to, you know, local shores, this week back in 2015, 12 referees were sanctioned across the three top-tier leagues down here in South Africa by the Referees Review Committee. You know, I just found that fascinating because it was like they get away with a lot. But we're also going to chat about VAR in a bit. So that's the reason why that little fact stuck out to me. But let's react to some of this PSL action. Cape Town City, 3-0 against SuperSport United. Huge win. I think Sean predicted a draw, high scoring. Deco, you went with Cape Town City. So they did you proud, but what was your reactions to the match, gents?
Yeah, I mean, Deco said that SuperSport United struggle at in Cape Town. And you know, if I think of my time back in Ajax, I don't think they ever won in Cape Town. So yeah, Deco 100% on his call there. And SuperSport were really nowhere, to be honest. Cape Town City were very, very impressive. Yeah, I think the scoreline did it justice as well. It could have been possibly more. Peter Lindbergh made one or two very good saves in the near post, I remember. So, brilliant. Cape Town City, hopefully they can continue this form. But yeah, SuperSport a bit out of sorts, I think. They weren't themselves at all, but SuperSport, Cape Town City, very, very impressive.
Deco, your former team. What did you make of that result?
Yes, Lou. With Cape Town City, whenever they play against SuperSport, I don't think we hardly struggle because of how SuperSport plays, especially in the midfield, and that's where Cape Town City dominates. So that's why I knew that, especially playing at home, Cape Town City loves playing at Cape Town Stadium. So whoever that comes there, they're going to struggle with that.
Yeah, and then elsewhere, we saw Sundowns beating Chippa United. You guys both predicted a win. I think it was kind of the easiest prediction. You know, they still conceded. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Downs had to come back. But what was your reaction to that match?
Yeah, I mean, I was hoping for an enthralling 6-7-0 victory for Sundowns, which which didn't happen, unfortunately. But it you know what? And we've said this before. You look back at the end of the season, where you're getting these 2-1 wins, these 1-0 victories, and you look back at games like this, where Chippa, yeah, they're not the best team, but anything can happen against Chippa, and we saw that. And Sundowns weren't the Sundowns we sort of know, but they still managed to get the 3 points, and that's why these guys are going to be crowned champions, in my opinion.
Point of correction, by the way, Sundowns didn't have to come from behind. Chippa equalized and then Sundowns got the winner in the 74th minute.
Come on, Slew, get your together, bro. Come on, Slew. But yeah, it's, you know, they've just fired their coach. They've got the standing coach now, who I think was the assistant. If you saw his interview after the game, you just got to like put your head in your hands. You go, oh my, what is happening? They need a proper coach with some proper vision. No disrespect to this guy, he's possibly a very good assistant and needs to be guided the next year or two so he can become a head coach. But yeah, dude, don't know what else to say. Chippa, if they continue the way they're doing, they're definitely going down. Sundowns are league champions, in my opinion, already.
Deco, your thoughts? I mean, this was one of those matches where you realize Sundowns' schedule is stacked, and so you almost don't blame them for, you know, struggling a little bit, even if it is Chippa. But what was your reaction to that match? Another goal from Shalulile Anzwane.
Look, Slu, I think when you from game 16, that's where, for me, that's where the league really starts. Every game now becomes more difficult than the previous one. And especially the guys that are fighting for their lives down there, they will make it difficult for you. Yes, on paper, you're expecting Mamelodi Sundowns to score more goals, but in reality, it's cheaper. They worked very, very hard. And the schedule also, Mamelodi Sundowns, is not helping. They of course, going into keep cheaper's game, you want to win as quickly as possible, rest the guys. But I think the guys that actually always showed up for Mamelodi Sundowns did, Themba Zwane and Shalulile, they're equal with goals in the league. I think they're slowly progressing with the mission of winning the league, and with the way they're going, it's very difficult to stop them.
Yeah, and they also made history. I believe they beat Chiefs' record for longest unbeaten stretch in the PSL. So we can move from this to the Nedbank Cup preview, because Sundowns and Pirates, I don't have to explain the history there, but it's going to be a huge match. So let's do predictions. Sean, who are you leaning towards?
Sure. It's... Again, anything can happen in a cup game, right? I think with Pirates already having won a cup this season, they're hoping they can sort of continue that form. But, you know, they've just been so inconsistent in terms of, I wouldn't say very inconsistent, but for Pirates, for someone like Atlanta Pirates, they've been a bit inconsistent in terms of results. They've had a couple of key injuries, so they'll probably be hoping that someone like Lorch and La Paz will be back from their respective injuries. And if they're not, I'm leaning towards Sundowns, to be honest. But yeah, it's going to be an enthralling game. I'm going with Sundowns.
Sundowns win. All right, Deco, your two former teams, who are you leaning towards?
It's no brainer for me. It's Sundowns, but I think it's going to be very, very interesting game. It's going to require a lot from Sundowns to defend, because I think Orlando Pirates are more fresher. They'll come in and force Sundowns to defend better, and it'll be very interesting to see Sundowns changing their type of style of play, not being that dominant, but being able to defend and show the other quality, the other side of their quality as well. But I lean against Sundowns, because I know that they know how to win the games. Even under difficult circumstances, they always find a way.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's interesting,
super consistent this season as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Slew. So just let me jump in there. I think what Rulani Mokoena said, which was quite true, he said both are two very, very good sides. As Orlando Pirates are an extremely strong opponent with very good players and very good weapons. But he does say that this is you're probably right to see this match as the final before the final.
Mm. Yeah.
Of course. Mm. Of course. Look, we have Chippa United that Pretoria Kings is a semi-finalist. really, guys. So between Sundowns and Pirates, whoever wins today's game is going to win Nedbank Cup.
Sure.
It's a given.
But you never know, Teko. It's football.
Come on.
Look what happened to TS Galaxy. TS Galaxy, remember?
Yeah, but TS Galaxy was on form. Pretoria Kings has been winning their games via penalties. Chippa has been winning via penalties and whatever the case they've been doing. Mm-hmm. And TTM, they must focus on their issues. Do you want to be in the final? Well, you are 1 point away from relegation. Chippa also. But imagine the final, Chief. There's Chippa United and
Sundowns.
No, Chippa United and TTM.
Two troubled teams, yeah.
Can you imagine, bro?
Yeah. Here's another crazy thing about this quarterfinal is that they play the semifinal this weekend. So,
on
Saturday. Can't even ask you for predictions there.
Sure,
no, that's crazy. Because you need to know who's winning today.
Yeah. So, it's going to be an interesting, fixture, just because they also have to think about the immediate semi-final that's coming. Everybody else has gotten so much time to prepare. But, we back Downs and Pirates because they have the quality, but it must be a lot of labor for them. Yeah. So it'll be very, very interesting. Up next, I wanted to just have another quick chat about VAR. We saw Patrice Motsepe put it in his 10-point action plan for CAF, just before he got elected president. But it's still such a point of controversy. And I don't think that we are in agreement as fans about, whether it's necessary, whether they're doing it the right way. So again, we've seen some dodgy decisions, and what people forget sometimes is that the rules change, from last season. So offside, now we're busy drawing graphs and handballs. We don't know. I feel like we used to know what a handball is, and now, So what are your thoughts? Do you think that it's perhaps unfair to the referees themselves, and that the rules are changing too quickly, or do you think that they'll figure it out over time?
Slew, man, you've hit the nail on the head. It's just getting so confusing. What happened just 5-10 years ago, where if it hits your shoulder and below and above, you're fine, and anything below is a handball. Now it's just, is it stuck out a little bit? Is it this? Is it that? I mean, you've got Fulham's manager Parker said the VAR is criminal, leaving the game in a mess. David Moyes criticizes that the VAR is absolute rubbish, and Klopp says it's an absolute disgrace. So it's just, there's not much positive coming out from the VAR. And don't forget the time wasting that's involved when every time a referee checks a thing, and a play can continue for 30 seconds or 45 seconds, even up to a minute. Then they get called back for a previous foul or whatever it is. It's a joke, man. In my opinion, it's an absolute joke. And the beautiful thing about football that is, and life in general, is that mistakes are going to happen. So scrap the VAR. If the referee makes a diabolical mistake, let him make a diabolical mistake. That is the excitement. That's what it's about. But then you go to the other side because there's so much money involved. And maybe that's why they're just trying to over-scrutinize everything so there are no mistakes. But it's having the complete opposite effect. In my opinion, it's an absolute bag of rubbish and they need to get rid of it.
Mm. Deco, your thoughts? I mean, I feel like the watching experience for football is so stressful now because of VAR and the rule changes. But what do you think that is necessary?
Look, Slu, I think whoever that invested in VAR, so he watched too much cricket. He was like, this might work for us. Because the thing is, like, what do you love about soccer itself is the actions, you know, everything that happens now. I don't want to score now and be told to celebrate 5 minutes later.
Sure.
You understand? So I think for me, VAR is taking the emotion, the emotion side of football. And now it makes it takes away everything that football meant to me. Look, we, like Shona said, everybody's there to make mistakes. Not everybody goes into the game intentionally to make mistakes, but that's what football is. Mm. I want, and most of the time is even if the VAR, okay, guys, let's say we're moving forward, we need to change with times, but let's say the VAR is there, but put people that are football people in there, because now people that are deciding on this, they're not deciding this as somebody that can put themselves in that situation on the pitch, because the person will be told that, yeah, but the aim wasn't straight, the arm wasn't stretched. Guys, who walks without the arms not being stretched? So imagine defending. So now if you put in people that played football in there, they will understand how difficult it is to defend with your hands behind your back. Because every week the decision of a handball inside the box changes every week. It depends on who's the referee. Like you said, last week it was like, if the circumference of the ball hit you on this side of the, it's a handball. Next week it changes. If you're facing the other way without facing the ball, if it hits you, it's not a handball because it's unintentional. Then the other week it changes. It's bullshit. Let's go back to the basics. Let's not take away what football means to us.
Correct.
Leave the other stuff. If you want more goals, improve the balls, because that's what they always do. They'll bring in the lighter balls, or when you shoot, it becomes difficult for the goalkeepers. It's okay. Improve those goal line technologies and whatever. Leave VAR out of this, because now, besides them being very controversial about their decisions, it's not helping anybody. The people that are supposed to be helping, they are complaining about. No team has come out and say, hey, guys, I'm thankful for VAR. It's both.
Not one team.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. It's always complaints. Every week we complain about this thing. It's gotten a bit out of hand. So I'd like to thank our sound engineer, Aiden, for, you know, letting me know to talk about this. But I wanted to get your guys' quick thoughts on Hüseyin Ertuğral being linked with the Bafana job. Do you think he's the right man for the job?
No.
I see Teko loves him as much as I do.
No. I've got nothing. Against the coach. Like, you remember I told you that I wish Machine has coached me?
Yes.
But please, no. Safa must, no, guys, no. They must clean the house first. Before they're looking for another coach, they must fix the administration first. Yeah, new people must come in first. They mustn't, before we, guys, we've been in this toxic relationship with Inzeki. We can't jump into another relationship. Let's fix ourselves first. Find ourselves. Let's go out for date, night. You know, Safa should be doing that. Yes. Why are they rushing to be in another relationship with another coach? What else? The same people that are in the office that are there since 2010. Change the office, comrade. They bring in new people with new ideas. 100%. So that we can have a better coach. Because now we want to hire a new coach, but we don't even have a philosophy or style of play. So now, which means the players that we're selecting in the national, they need to adjust to the coach. What does the coach need to adjust to the national team? So we don't know.
Whether Bafana were interested in Muşin or not, he's got such a cushy job at FIFA at the moment. He's also dealing with the Turkish FA through FIFA. So there's no ways, in my opinion, he would ever take it, to be honest. But I do agree with exactly what Teko said. There's so much happening behind closed doors there that needs to be sorted out once and for all and have a proper 10-year vision plan, which they've never really had, to be honest. So, yeah, I don't think it's a match. But he is here in South Africa, by the way. which is bizarre. I saw him the other day on the promenade in Cape Town. He's in Joburg now, but I don't think it's for the Bufano job. I really don't. I'll be very surprised if he accepts it and if he's offered it on both ways. He's a very good coach, but there's just no fit.
No. And if Bufano actually gives this job to Moshin Netrigal, I'm packing my bags. I'm out
of the let's not let Deco leave, yo. you know, the thing about being a Bufana coach is that you need to have the right drive to do it. You know what I'm saying? Wow. And, you know, another thing that has drive is the car of the week.
Well done, Slew Dog. So this car of the week we feature is from Valamsane Ndwandwa, Golden Arrows midfielder, who I've been very impressed with this season. He has got the new Polo TSI. So you want a VW hatch that is smaller than the Golf, but only slightly, and one that's less golfish than the Golf. Here, just for you, is the new Polo. It's comfortably bigger than before, but without a rise in weight, which is good work. Length and wheelbase have grown enough to make it one of the roomiest super minis this side of the Honda Jazz. It is available as a 5-door only. The new Polo adds more connectivity, more space, and more driver assistance to the already refined little VW experience. Such a small car, but you're still paying north of 300,000 Rand. In terms of practicality, petrol consumption, etc., you have to give the Polo a 9 out of 10. And don't forget, it is a VW.
I mean, we love a Polo down south.
We do, bro.
Another thing I love about this show is that we always close off the show with some motivation from Sean. It always makes me feel a little bit better and more motivated for the week. So what is the quote of the week?
This week is from the second best player ever. Second best dressed player ever, apart from Teko, obviously, Edmilson Dove. He says, worrying doesn't take away tomorrow's troubles. It takes away today's peace. Smile more. I like that.
That's kind of how I've been living my life, you know. Facing difficulty, I always just try and present myself with positive vibes.
Always, bro.
Thank you very much for that one. This has been episode number 69 of The Car Wash. Thank you very much for tuning into the show. Whether you've been listening to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or Mahikeng 96.7 FM's Game Time, I have been your host, Slew Paho. That has been Mr. Sean Roberts.
Thank you, Slew Dog.
That has been Mr. Teko Modise.
Thank you, Mr. Slew.
And we will see all of you same time, same place next week.
Peace.
Today is a great day for a car wash.
Yeah, sure. Car wash. This is the car wash on the SL podcast. Sizohlangana khona.